Knuckle Bay, the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin Jade. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah, let us know if you can hear us. Let us know if you can see us. We literally never know. Let's go, Superstar Shane, says Cousin Tony. Hollywood's waiting on you.
Oh, yes, man. I appreciate all the support. Big Cuz does. That was awesome. We got to sit down with Rusty. I got to do my own little skit with him. I'm sure I butchered that. I was afraid I didn't record it, Mike, honestly. Because when I got done with it, it just stopped. He left, and I was like, do I even have this? You know, did me and Rusty just have a nice conversation that no one gets to share? So be sure to check that out. It's not just Georgia Bulldogs. We talk a lot of cool stuff about the state of Georgia. And of course, Rusty's just he's just awesome himself. Got another one coming up this weekend. I won't spoil it, but be sure to have those subscriptions logged in there, notifications on. So when they go live, you'll be notified.
Yeah, a lot of comments, Shane. Shane's taking over the channel. Some people were just baffled that you were on the left side of the screen instead of the right. You know what I mean? Like, it's a new year. It's a new Shane.
Well, as soon as your internet started messing up, I was like, I got to have a backup plan here, you know? So yeah. It's doing a little bit better, it looks like, Mike. But how's your day, man? How's your day been? I haven't even got to really talk to you today.
Yeah, here's the truth behind the scenes, folks. Shane doesn't even speak to me, talk to me, or nothing, unless we're doing this show. He doesn't even acknowledge my existence here. But
your contacts do not answer. So in case somebody walks by, they don't accidentally pick up the phone. No, we went over to Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if you knew I enjoy that establishment, but me and my wife, she's been dying to get one of those brownie battered donuts, right? So it's a thing they do seasonally for Valentine's.
Oh.
And since they've had them out, they've never had them in. Every time we've gone to it, I've been to Dunkin' Donuts 3 times now and walked away with no donuts. You would think Shane would say, okay.
I call bullshit all day.
All right. Maybe I was skewing a little bit, but I will say this
you didn't get the one you were going for.
Yeah.
There's no way you're walking out of there if you hit it.
All right. Here's the deal. Today, I'll go over there, right? It's like 6:15 p.m., right before the show. You know, I thought a little sugar wouldn't hurt the show. So we go over there. We ask, of course, they don't have. The lady pauses. I said, do you have the brownie batter? And she goes, oh, the brownie batter. And I was like, yes. And she goes, oh, no, we don't have. And she goes, in fact, we don't have any donuts. And I'm like, what the hell? Dunkin' Donuts, 6:24 p.m., doesn't have any donuts, you know? Completely out. I mean, if you want bagels, you want eggs, you want a cold drink, they've got it. But the donut shop, I don't know what their plans are, but every time we go, it seems like they're running out. So there must be, I know there's an egg shortage. Maybe there's a donut shortage. I don't know.
Where is this at, if you don't mind me? Is it at the gas station over there?
It's the one that's across from the mall, Morristown Mall there.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got to go to the donut store before 7 o'clock at night, Shane.
I know.
I'm sorry to break this news to you, but it's an early breakfast food.
if your store name is Dunkin' Donuts, don't you think that's the one thing you probably shouldn't run out of?
Yeah, if they run out, it's time to close the shop for the day.
Exactly. Or put a sign up. So, but anyway, that's my day in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's about to get ramped up here because once again, I mean, I'm not even kidding, folks. It's Shane is like taking over the channel. He's going to fire my ass here soon. This is basically that Shane podcast.
Oh, whatever.
We've got for the first time ever, Shane has done a graphic and a show topic, and I've had to do no research for this. So I don't even know if you've seen the title, Shane, but the title of the show, Fear the Logo, which SEC team do you hate to see on your schedule? This is 100% Cousin Shane wanting to go out and do this. Hey, shout out Liquid. Krispy Kreme is far superior anyway.
Agreed.
and shout out Liquid. He's been a member here for 6 months. It says, wow.
Thank you, cuz. Yeah, hell yeah.
Mm.
Well, and you know what is funny? First time I ever had Dunkin' Donuts was in the state of Florida. I just, Liquid Flames, you know, he's down there. I don't know if he lives in Florida, but I know he's a Florida fan. But I remember it was your dad that brought a box of Dunkin' Donuts was the first time I ever heard of this. I just thought it was like a trendy pick down there in Jacksonville, but no.
Yeah, Shane was 150 pounds till my dad gave that.
Absolutely. This is like a before after shot right here. Before I met his uncle or my uncle and after. So,
hey, so we'll get into your list here in a little bit, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Shay, because this is taking college football by storm over here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a report. I know Shane, again, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think people have figured it out by now. You're not the guy that's, reading all the articles unless they're sent to you. You know what I mean? But shout out Ross Dellinger. We ought to try to get him on the show at some point. But he has broken the news. He breaks the news all the time that the college football playoff looks like it is going to be expanding. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not official. None of this is official yet. But in 2026, the SEC and the Big Ten can do whatever the hell they want. So, certainly, I think this is going to happen, some iteration of this. In my opinion, Shane, we've had the 12 team. We've had it for 1 year. I don't know that it needs to be retooled. I mean, I would probably give it a year or two more to see what it looks like. But it looks like they're doing this to either 14 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're talking about doing is SEC guarantees that they get four every year. The Big Ten, guarantee they get four every year. The ACC and the Big 12, they're guaranteed each to have two. So right there already, we're at 12.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have three.
I ran out of fingers, Mike.
Yeah. it depends on whether they go to 14 or 16. But basically, that guaranteeing all this. And if it happens again, this is all if, but I think it's trending that way. The SEC will finally go to 9 conference games annually.
Mm-hmm.
So take all this in. And have you had any thoughts while this has been percolating here?
Well, I mean, honestly, it wasn't much later when 12 was announced that I heard 14 was like whispered out there, you know. So I kind of expected an expanded playoffs, but my first knee jerk reaction was, you leave Bama out once, we extend them. You know what I'm saying?
So I mean that's what you really think it boils down to. Big Ten got four, SEC only got three, and all of a sudden SEC's and I'm saying they're saying guarantees four.
Yes.
That means 5 or 6 potentially could get in.
Yeah.
From either SEC or Big Ten, but I think SEC is certainly more likely. Do you have any problem with that?
Not really, because I think the more that you got in there, the more likely that you'll win the natty. You know,
right.
I'm thinking more of, what was it, a year before when Georgia didn't make it? Is that right?
Yeah.
And you and I sat there saying, if Georgia were in these playoffs right now, there's no way they wouldn't be holding up the national championship trophy at the end of the season. So that's kind of how I felt. Now, that was 4, and this is 12. It felt like if you can't get it in 12, I don't know if 16 is quite the answer, but I will tell you what, man, I enjoyed the hell out of the college football playoffs. I enjoyed watching them. I enjoyed the buildup to it.
I don't think we liked how it ended.
We didn't like how it ended, but you know, again, sometimes you got to break a few eggs. You know what I'm saying? And I felt like that's what's happened here the last 2 years. So we're going to fix it so we got more teams in there.
Yeah, so bottom line, if it's good for the SEC, you're in favor of it.
That's it. I'm a homer. I am. Is it right? No. I think we could have really done 4. I think we could have stuck with that. Maybe 8, you know, but definitely 12. I don't want to see it extended too far. I would honestly prefer maybe a 14, have a 2 at-large type situation. But personally, I'd like to keep it at 12 and maybe guarantee 3 SEC, 3 Big Ten, something like that.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, and I know you logged on a little late yesterday with Steven and I were chatting, but so this is damn near universally being hated. Mm-hmm. You know, people saying the SEC, Big Katan running the sport. Well, they do already, in case that's news to you. But, you know, they're setting the rules so that they can have all the advantages. Again, they have all the advantages already. But while there is massive negativity, I think this is potentially great news, again, for the SEC, because we really got to have this nine-game SEC schedule.
Yes.
And I know, you know, there's many teams that don't want it. God, I mean, this is the joke I was making, Shane. Imagine Oklahoma. I mean, it's already a damn gauntlet. Throw in one more. You know, can we throw Georgia in here? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're going to do to Oklahoma. But, you know, I kind of kid, but I say that. But if we go to nine, we're guaranteeing Texas and Texas A&M get to keep playing.
Yeah.
We're guaranteeing Alabama, Tennessee get to play. Auburn, Georgia, on and on. There's so many great games. And great games that we have lost, like Auburn, Florida. I don't think. I'm sure those fans do, but I don't know if the rest of the SEC knows, Shay. That used to be a one hell of a rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get these games back, and we'll get them more often if we go to nine games. And I've already heard the critique in the comments, you know, well, I don't like nine because we're going to beat each other up. You know, but that's just the SEC. And the fact that you're guaranteeing spots, you ensure those games get played, and you have more margin for error to get to the college football playoff. It's really the only way to go, I do think.
Guarantee, when you hear words like guarantee, that almost guarantees that you're going to nine, because I don't think with the way it's currently set up that any SEC coach would sign up, any organization would sign up for that, because it is very volatile in this league, and it is – you know, it is a gauntlet, as you mentioned. So I feel like when you hear the words guarantee, that pretty much put the icing on the cake, which is great. It is, at the end of the day, the guys, the girls that are on this show right now are diehard SEC fans, and it is great for us, Mike, because like you said, we're going to start seeing some more rivalries crank up. We're going to start seeing teams rotating. You know, there's been some that you've not even got to see yet. Some that's gone 8-9 years, you know. We won't see that anymore. This will be a constant rotation, and you'll actually get to play all the teams in the SEC eventually.
Yeah, and not to mention, I haven't heard this officially, but if they're going to expand the playoff, that's going to mean more home playoff games.
Yeah.
And perhaps even two rounds. I've heard rumors, two rounds, not just the first round, but two rounds of home playoff games, which, hell, if you thought these other ones were great, imagine, you know, the playoff games we could have in the years to come in the SEC on home fields. I mean, that in itself is kind of getting me to buy in.
So more. I love more, but it feels like something's got to give. Do you feel like with the expansion, with the guarantee, do you think that the season moves up? Do you think there's an SEC championship? Do you think more game? You know what I'm saying? What do you think the adjustments will be if that happens?
I think the biggest adjustment, Shay, will be they're not going to do away with the SEC championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of should, but they make too much money off it. It's too big of an event. But what is the point if you're guaranteeing four teams from the league make the playoff?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we fighting over one versus two? I mean, it's nonsensical.
Yeah.
So I think what they should have already done is pit. Again, remember, there's four guaranteed. So they pit four versus five, and then the winner of that game guaranteed in the playoff. So it's almost like expanding the playoff in itself. It'll be a play-in game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that would be kind of cool. I dig that. I've not heard that, but I don't know, man. It feels like they would move it up, in my opinion. It feels like they would maybe move the season up a week, and maybe 10 days, something like that, and then throw in that SEC championship, because like you said, there is a lot of, I mean, shit, Mac, we were down there in Georgia, the millions and millions of dollars spent, just, I mean, we went from ad to ad in that big old, there is plenty of money being spent down there. So I would imagine that the SEC championship stays in put, but I do like the play-in game. I think that would make sense as a, like more of a fan perspective.
Yeah. But there's just no value. I wouldn't think of it one versus two. If everybody's guaranteed to get in, you know? I mean, I could be wrong, but if you're taking four, why the hell are we pitting one versus two in an extra game That means nothing but seeding.
I can't wait to see the formula. You know, I can't wait to see who's fifth 1 year. You know, whose ass is getting left out. So
we just expand. We just go keep expanding. You know,
seven teams get in from the.
Well, any other thoughts, Shay, before we move it over to Fear the Logo, Cousin Shay?
Yeah.
Topic here.
Well, honestly, you got to remember there is absolutely, positively no research done with this one. This is just my opinion. I wanted to throw out when you think Fear the Logo, here's what I'm thinking, Mike. It's just, when you're there at the game and you hear the fight song and you see the colors and you see the flags, and you know, it's just, there's something inside of you, and it changes for different fans, different perspectives. I get that. But there's just something inside of you that either has that, like, that gut drop feel, like, shit, here we go again. Like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Even if they're quote unquote bad this year or good this year, I just feel like some of these logos carry the power. And that's kind of the route I went. Now, there's going to be some in here you're going to say, damn, Shane, this is too low, this is too high. I don't care. It's my list. You know, if you don't like that, I spent 3 hours making this fucking thing. So, you know, make your own list and I'll retweet it. Just tag me. Okay.
But hey, I got a couple questions. So I'll reveal the graphic at the end here, 'cause I don't want to give away the whole thing here. Is this all time? Is this today?
No. That's a great question. This is in, this is like a 42-year perspective, if you will. So, and as we're going through this list, I'll explain why I've put certain teams in certain. Some of it will be based on, you know, last few years, and mm-hmm. some of it may be based on projections or just based on my lifetime, Mike, you know. So,
not necessarily just the 2025 season.
No, definitely not the 25 season. No, I mean, you got to remember, back in the day, the schedules used to come out 12, 10 years ahead, you know, and you would see a Michigan or an Ohio State or something like that. And inside your mind, you already think it's a competitive game. Now, that may change a decade later when you actually play the football team. But think about this. If they are projected in 4 years on your schedule, do you feel pretty good about them, or are you a little worried about them?
I got you. That's kind of the mindset here. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No math, no research. It's just me explaining why I put this team here 16 times, Mike.
So do you want to start at the top or you want to start at the bottom?
No, start at the bottom, man. We got to start at the bottom. Now, this is a little bit more current than I would say, you know, the last 10, 15 years, because this team has had some really good runs. They've had some really good coaches down there. And unfortunately, right now, the wheels have fell off. And when you see this university on your schedule, I think you've lost the fear. You know what I'm saying? So number 16 is Mississippi State. Mike, again, 2 years ago, this would have been an absolute joke to have them this low.
You know,
3 years, even last year, I could have. But going from Zach to Jeff to not winning SEC games, and it just feels like the wheels have ultimately came off of this university. And I'm not saying forever they won't be fixed, but right now, Mike, is I do not fear the cowbell. I do not fear the logo. Mississippi State, I got you at 16. Am I wrong?
Let me put it this way, Shane, and again, I'm not trying to kick a man while he's down, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if Southern Miss is afraid of Mississippi State week one.
No, I guarantee Southern Miss looks at this schedule and says, hey, we have a chance to get an SEC win. You know?
I mean, I think that's the God's honest truth. You know what?
But it's sad because, like you saw on the list, you know, several years back, this was a historically 8-9 win team. You know, they've had some great runs there. In my lifetime, I remember when they were ranked one in the country.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to play them. But I don't know, man. It just feels like, yeah, I see the Vandy here. More recent, I think Vandy surpassed him. If Vanderbilt didn't have the season that they had, obviously, last year with a quarterback that keeps finding lives, you know, I always think of that. Remember that Justin Timberlake movie where he's running out of hours and they're like giving him more hours? You remember that movie? I think that's what it's called. But I feel like that's what Pavi is. He's just running around Nashville just feasting off more hours. And as long as he's there in Nashville, Tennessee, Vanderbilt is actually kind of they got a little bite to him. So I don't, unfortunately. Right. We've done this schedule. If we would have done this last year or the 41 years prior, I would have had Vanderbilt at that last spot, but not right now.
Yeah, and you don't even have him 15th. You got a different team.
Yeah. Go ahead, show, because it's been a while since I made this list. Kentucky Wildcats, Mike. Bob, Coach Stoops. I said Bob Stoops. Mark Stoops out here tweeting Ford dealerships because he may have to work there one day, Mike. Mike, Kentucky used to be an up-and-coming program, you know? I mean, I hated playing them. I joke about the bourbon bet, but I'll sit in there in some of those games, and I'm like, shit, I hope we don't mess this one up, or I hope we don't lose. I never said that. You know, when I was younger, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, those were your two wins every single year. And then Coach Stoops kind of turned that thing around. You're looking at the records here. I mean, going back to 2016, 7, 7, 10, 8, 5, 10, 7, 7. I mean, and that 5 was 2020, you know, COVID year.
Right, right.
This is a program that typically makes a bowl game, wins additional SEC games, and sometimes, every now and then, have one of those magical 10-win seasons. And I feel like that wind has came out of the sail. Talk about fall from grace. That's what Coach Stoops is right now, in my opinion, and that's where Kentucky's at, brother. Now, I fear him in basketball, by God. You know, I'll tell you that. I don't like him in baseball. But as far as football, I'm still happy when I see Kentucky on my schedule.
Yeah, and I was trying to find it. I wonder if old Stoops got me blocked or something. I can't even see it. I can't find his social medias anymore. But Liquid says, is he going to be working at Morristown Honda?
Yeah. You know, he's going to get one of them sweet deals when he gets done. You know, he's got the bourbon place up there now. I think I've got a bottle of it somewhere.
Oh, it's really good bourbon.
Yeah, that's. I've not had it. I'm not open. I'm going to open it up the day he's fired. So how about that, Mike? Because right now, again, can Kentucky fix this? Absolutely. But I'm telling you right now, if you are another SEC, take the Tennessee glasses off for a second. If you're another SEC opponent, okay, they want you on their schedule. Even Ole Miss, after losing that game.
I was about to say, what about Ole Miss, though?
Ole Miss, I think they still
might fear him a little.
They don't give a they can't wait for revenge, Mike. And, buddy, they're going to rip into him, too. So, yeah, fearing the logo, nobody fears that logo.
Okay. Well, how about next on the docket here? This is where most people's heads are at, but you're loving some Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, Vanderbilt at the 14th spot. You would have thought I made this list about 5 years ago, didn't you? Vanderbilt Commodores obviously has never been a – no, I don't want to say that. What's his name?
Franklin.
Me. Yeah, Franklin was over there. You know, Vanderbilt had something going on. They had some, you know, they were beating a Tennessee team. Of course, we were in a bad spot at that time. I think they pulled off some upsets, but you know, then they went back to Vanderbilt ways and nobody was afraid of them. Couldn't wait to play them. This is a team you schedule for your homecoming, Mike. You know, you want to crown the queen. This is when you do it, when Vanderbilt's on the other side of that football field. Unfortunately, or fortunately, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you found Coach Lee, you found Pavia, and you found a little Lady Luck. Because I feel like that's what happened last year. It was a perfect combination. They're coming into a new schedule, new stadium, new hype. They got players staying. I mean, for Christ's sake, how many times has Vanderbilt, in this NIL transfer portal world, how many times has Vanderbilt pillaged through all their better athletes, you know?
Right.
It's not happening anymore. So right now, I think you fear the logo a little bit. And if you don't, ask Bama about it. You know, ask Mizzou about it, went down to the wire. Ask Auburn. Ask Tennessee, that was down multiple scores before they got back into that game. So, yeah, Vanderbilt is a team that hung with just about everybody they played last year. So this is a little bit more short-term. But right now, I think you're a little more scared of that logo than you were 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who Shane's not scared of? Well, and again, I can't believe this. We all saw what happened last year. How about them Hawks, Shane? That's who you got, number 13.
Yep. Fear the logo. Probably one of the coolest logos, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the most unique logos. But here's the thing, Mike. You can't fear a logo and in the same breath say, well, my coach is on top of the fired list, you know? How many hot seat? That's the only time you see this logo is when we're talking hot seats or a shitty basketball situation, you know? That's it. That's all we're seeing with the Arkansas. Now, do they deserve better? Absolutely. I love this fan base. One of the best. I mean, I've been there. That's the thing. As a Tennessee fan, I have had years like this and feeling like we can't get out of it. We'll never be good. It's going to, like, you're thinking about the good old days, you know? And it may happen. It may pop off this year. I just don't think it's going to, Mike. And honestly, if you're outside of Arkansas and you have Arkansas on your schedule, even as a Tennessee, homer that lost to them last year, can't wait to get them at home. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
we are moving up the list. Let's not relish on the fact that this is toward the bottom, but they are a little bit higher than some of the teams that we've mentioned. And this is a team that just hasn't quite had that sting like it has in the past, you know?
Cousin Tony says the logo looks like Shane trying to catch a grease bee.
That's right, man. Do you have any so far? The first 25% of the league or the list here, Mike, do you have any quarrel with what I've said?
Well, I think that's pretty consensus with where most people would have it. Maybe a little recency bias with Mississippi State being down right now.
Yeah.
Kentucky, I get Kentucky for many years has been a tough out. I think, you know, hell, even till last year, I think old Florida fans want to know part of old Kentucky.
Yeah.
Remember Billy Napier, they got their ass handed to him 2 years ago. He said, this is the program we want to be. And that was like one of the things that pissed that fan base off the most. Like,
yeah,
we're aspiring to be Kentucky. Get this damn guy out of here. So Kentucky, I feel like, is a little low, but I'm right there with, because right now there's no momentum.
Yeah.
Well, like I think we could. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah. I think we could legitimately see, and I hope we don't. I'm not rooting for this. I don't root for these. I don't root for apathy. That's the worst thing for us, Shane. But we get to October 4th. Let's say Georgia. There may be 10,000 Kentucky fans there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, it may legitimately be a sea of red. I'm trying to say, you know, and if you keep losing. You may show up for Auburn, but I like the one that could really be bad is November 22nd. Because let's say they're like 2-8 or whatever it is by then. I don't think any Kentucky fans are going to show up, and it's going to be nothing but Vanderbilt fans almost. And I think we are headed in that direction right now.
Yeah. I think it may even be a little sooner at November 8th, Florida Gators. That's turned in quite a rivalry.
Or Tennessee, you know, Tech. How many people will show up for that one, you know?
Oh, man, especially if you lose like 3 games, 4 games, 5 games, and 6. Damn, I'm looking at this schedule. I think that's where, when I make this list, Mike, it's a little history. But, you know, when you get to the bottom, because somebody's got to be there, you got to have at least paired with optimism, you know? And right. I feel like that's what separates these next four teams as opposed to these bottom four, is I don't have a lot of optimism for Kentucky. I think they're worse. I think they're going to be worse this year than they were last year. Same thing with Mississippi State. I saw optimism in a quarterback that left.
Right.
It's like, how could you not find money to just keep one freaking guy there that's doing something? But
and not only did he leave, he left to be a backup in the SEC.
So, I the optimism. There's a little bit more with Vanderbilt. There's a little bit more with Arkansas, but not enough to move them over these next four, in my opinion.
Well, next on Shay's list, number 12. I thought I hated this coach. Come on, Dad. Auburn Tigers.
Well, you want to talk about optimism, and I'm going to be pumping this team up all offseason, Mike, because I do feel like 2025 is going to be a different situation. Ooh. However, Mike, we have been in some dark days down there on the plains, haven't we? I have seen some really, really bad Auburn football games. And what's sad is we're talking about fear in the logo. There was a time when no one wanted to play Auburn. Absolutely no one. They were the most feared team in the SEC. And right now, they are not. Now, that could change. That could change with an electric start. That could change with a couple of big upsets early on the plains. You know, there is an opportunity to kind of move back up this list. But, Mike, you know, you lose long enough, then you just become a loser. You know, it's like, and I feel like that's where Auburn's at right now. And unfortunately, I can't move them up. I'm more optimistic about these guys, but do you fear like an eagle? I mean, come on, who's worried about an eagle?
let me just throw this out there though. And again, I don't think this is on any Auburn fans' minds.
Yeah.
But just had back-to-back top 10 classes. They're approaching another top 10 class.
Yeah.
If the results are not there, I think they should and will fire Hugh Freeze because he's got a very low buyout. You know, let's say they bring in a quality coach like a Dan Lanning.
Yes.
With all that talent. Of course, you know, guys could exit immediately via the portal. But I think they would stay for Dan Lanning and the money that's down there. If they had maybe Dan Lanning is a bad example, but if there's a coach out there that you really respect, if he came to Auburn, would you fear him a little bit more?
Hell yeah. I'd change it from War Eagle to Phoenix, son. Right from the ashes is where Auburn would come from. And again, I thought I was on the Hugh Freeze bandwagon. I still kind of am. You know, I feel like there's still time. The fact that he is bringing in these recruiting classes, eventually I'm hoping that it pays off on the football field. And that's why the optimism. But you got to remember where they came from. You know, when you got guys like Bo Jackson or, hell, do you remember when we were going to do the game day while you were up there at UT? We went down there, it was Cadillac and was it Ronnie Brown? And I mean, you talk about an absolute train wreck. I mean, they ran right through us and nobody wanted to play Auburn. And it's just sad that it's gotten to this point this long. And I know the fans know it. The fans understand. They're diehard fans. Auburn, I mean, they are just – I'll never forget. Was it Cadillac that took over the coaching job, or was it Ronnie Brown? Which one was it?
Cadillac.
Yeah, I can't remember. I've slept since then. But just how the show out of people there to support, they just want to win. They just want to be good again. And I feel like – they're on the edge of it. Now, if Hugh Freeze fumbles this damn thing in 25, we'll just move them on down this list next year.
Now, here's what I was shocked at, Shay. Shocked at.
Yeah.
Number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Too far down the list. Should have made the playoff. Gamecocks. Come on, man. I thought you were on Beaver's good side. How could they be all the way down here at 11?
Mike, again, you got to remember, this isn't how good you're going to be in 2025 or how good you are in 2024. This is if you are not living in Columbia, South Carolina, and a fan of the old South Carolina Gamecock, does that person fear your school? No. No, they don't. Now, should they? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, ask, I guess LSU would be a bad example, but ask Oklahoma, you know?
Ask you. Tennessee, 2020. 22.
I've slept since then. They cheated during that one. I'm not going to count that one. But I'm talking about Mizzou. I'm talking about, you know, Texas A&M, what they saw. There's a reason that that South Carolina should be higher on this list. But the reason that they're not is because they don't respect them like they should, Mike. It's that simple. South Carolina, it's almost like they have to win extra games to get the respect they deserve. The fact that they were on the fringe of the college football playoffs wasn't good enough. If they would have made the playoffs, if they would have won games in the playoffs, people would have recognized exactly what Shane Beamer and company have built down there. It's just unfortunate that your signature wins are against teams that nobody likes to watch anyway. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the season. So, Mike, I feel like South Carolina can move up this list. They got a Heisman quarterback. They got one of the best defenses in the country. I mean, they're gonna be feasting for sure. But again, you're changing the culture. You're changing the standard. The standard at South Carolina is not 11 wins every year and competing for SEC championships. It's not. I wish it was. It should be, you know. And honestly, they're on the path to do it. But have they done it, Mike? And they haven't. They had one good season in 22. They've paired it with a 24 season. You got to stack more wins for us to fear the logo. So, again, we're getting kind of in the middle now, so just don't forget where we're at in this list. You are higher than a lot of good storied programs, but unfortunately, this is only as high as I can put you.
Shane, this list is starting to stink. You know how we fix that, though?
How do you fix it, Mike?
ShopMando, come on, ShopMando.com. Promo code SEC, get you $5 off a starter pack over at ShopMando. Mando starter pack, Shane, solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice. Get you $5 off with that promo code SEC. And $5 off, Shane, is 40% off the entire product. Mm-hmm. And don't forget the free shipping over at Shop Mando. So this is a great product, baking soda free. It's safe to use anywhere. And I do mean anywhere, Shane. On that body of yours to clean yourself up. Clean up your takes, Shane. You need some of this after this damn list come out. So, again, it's shopmando.com. That's the website there. Promo code SEC for $5 off, which is 40% off the entire product. They sent some over to me. I've been using it. I have not been making lists like this. Shane, you could tell he's got some, but he's not been using it when he's putting this list together over at shopmando.com. You know what?
Yeah. This may be the last one I do, Mike. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, I mean, again, my opinion, obviously it's going to be a little controversial here, but one of the things that again, you've got to remember on this one is I want you to think of, so let's say South Carolina.
Yeah.
And let's say you're an LSU fan. That's probably a bad one to use, but let's just say it. LSU, when they look at their schedule, let's say 2 years from now, and they see South Carolina, if they're doing an early quick projection, they're marking you as a win. You know what I'm saying? Like when we play South Carolina, that's a win. Now we play Alabama, that's a toss up. You know, we all do it. We all do this when the schedules come out, wins, losses, and tosses.
Right.
And I feel like South Carolina should have been a lot more tosses, a lot more losses than they are getting the respect for. But other fans don't fear the logo just yet as much as they should.
Right. Well, now we're into the top 10, and it's getting questionable. Let's just say that. Come on, you damn Mizzou Homer.
Well, I mean, this isn't my list, Mike. It is my list, but it isn't like how I think the logo should be, Mike. Okay. Mizzou is probably one of the most disrespected universities in the country right now, especially over their football program. Every time I see an argument, I'm caught in one right now. They're talking about how many starters Ohio State had a couple of years ago. It's like, They got to put asterisks by every single win and loss, you know, and it shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't sit back and say, well, Mizzou had an easy schedule. No, Mizzou had 10 wins, you know? Mizzou had 11 wins. Mizzou is putting together a lot of great seasons. Drink is building something special. And I think when you're changing the direction, because I hate to say it, Mike, but 4 years ago, Mizzou probably would have been the bottom four for me.
Yeah.
They would have. I would have had them probably at 15, 14, somewhere around there. We're now 10. They in my eyes, should be higher. But you have to keep stacking wins. And you can't just do it against the opponents that are inferior. You can't do it against the ones you're always favored with. So I think Mizzou has an opportunity this year to do something special. And it's put a bow on what Eli Drinkwitz has created there in Columbia, Missouri. And unfortunately, you're not going to get the respect you deserve until you punch them in the damn mouth. You can't go to Alabama and lose by 30 points. You can't go to Texas A&M and lose by 40 points. Every game's got to be competitive. It's got to be a damn dogfight. And if you are a favorite to win, you don't just win, you beat the shit out of them. That's how you fear the logo. When a team is afraid to play you because you beat the shit out of them.
You're scaring the shit out of me.
No, I'm getting fired up, Mike. I'm getting fired up.
But that being said, the team you got number 9, I didn't know you had any respect for them, but apparently you do. Oklahoma, Shane, number 9 ahead of your Mizzou Tigers. It's red hot South Carolina, but interesting. Interesting that you got them here number 9.
This is more of history for me, Mike. Obviously, you're looking at now, because this is where people are going to get lost. This is my... Welcome to my mind, Mike. You know, I can justify one by a recent schedule or a prediction for 2025, and the other I justify with that it's freaking Oklahoma, man. You know, this is a team that wins national championships. This is a team that has Heisman Trophy winners. You know, they are not like they are in 24. This is a historic 10, 11, 12 win program, and that's the standard. And the fact that they're this low on this list just shows you what Venables has done to the brand, what he's done to the logo. You know, somebody's got to be blamed. We can't blame injuries. We can't blame a quarterback. No, we blame the chief. And the chief has, you know, he's had the reins. He came over here to the SEC, and he's got his ass punched. So I'm telling we can't edit that out, but that's exactly what happened over there. Sorry, that's why I don't do lists. But anyway, Oklahoma should be higher. They're not because they've been garbage here lately.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But you're at least giving up some credit for outstanding history, right?
Absolutely. You better believe when Texas and Oklahoma face off, they remember the bad games. You know, even the Mizzou, I got to see a little bit of it when I was up there in Columbia. And Mizzou walked away the victor at home there by a miracle. But if there was still a little bit of aura, is that how you say it? In their little mystique in the air because it's Oklahoma. It's the Oklahoma Sooners. And you think about it wasn't that long ago you were knocking off a number one Oklahoma in the country. So, yeah, I feel like that carries a little weight with it. And it almost pained me to put them this low because they should be higher.
And as bad as they looked at times, and that particularly the ending, they got right up the mat and whooped Alabama's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that is, we shouldn't just highlight one win and be like, all right, program's great, but it's a belief that, hey, we're the damn Sooners.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama, we ain't scared of your ass. And remember, this ain't Alabama that lost to Michigan and was disgraceful in the bowl game. This was Alabama that was locked into the playoff.
Right.
That was locked in to the SEC championship. People forget that. Mm-hmm. This wasn't, you know, number 20 Alabama. This was top five or, top six.
Yeah.
I think something like that. Alabama that was locked in, had everything in front of them, and completely got dominated by the Sooners. So, I think that kind of validates why you're giving respect to Oklahoma a little bit.
Yeah. And you got to remember, some of this has to do with home field advantage as well. You know,
right.
if it's a tough place to play, and, you know, being a Tennessee homer, I remember when they stripped that field. right before they striped our ass. You know what I'm saying? They really put it to us. But I remember Baker Mayfield making a mockery there in Neyland Stadium, and you know, Oklahoma just being the top dog and on the highlights there at ESPN. So yeah, I just damn. Yep, can't reel that one back in, can we? Put it on a shirt, Mike.
All right, let's go. Now this is interesting, Shane, because the history is not there for this one.
Yes,
but I'm not saying I disagree necessarily. But you got number eight. 8-4 Texas 8-4 A&M, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe this is just, I don't know, because they should be better. You know, I don't know if that, it feels like every single year that I have been covering Texas A&M, mm-hmm. they should always have been better than they ended.
Right.
If that makes sense. And the level of optimism that surrounds, that shrouds this program, and it's, I mean, it's a, they have everything. They have the money. They have a 100,000 seat stadium. They have the fandom. This place is sold out every single time. It's, they got the weird chants, you know, but they got them. You know what I'm saying? The 12th man. I'll never forget watching that blonde haired kid that shouldn't have been out there. Happy that he did something special against Tennessee. Somebody's going to, I can't remember the kid's name, but
Gillespie, yeah, maybe that guy.
I think he should have been kicked off for some penalties he did, but whatever. You know, there's just something about this team that has, you see that logo and you say, that could be a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you are Texas right now, as an example, well, I mean, that's a terrible example because they hate each other, but let's say Georgia. Georgia, top, probably going to be number one. Georgia's looking at their list, and if they have A&M on there, and I don't think they do, but if they did, I think you could make the argument that there's a trap game. There's one that you may lose. That's the one you got to bring your A game to. They always do it with A&M. That's fearing a logo. It's not fearing the roster. It's not fearing the coaching. It's fearing Texas A&M as a whole, and that's why I've got them there.
I think I would disagree, though, because I don't know how many people are fearing A&M. I think they're more like they're waiting for them to screw it up because they almost always, you know what I mean? It's like you respect it, but it's you know, the like whatever, if they do something good, it seems like they just then they equally do something bad, if that makes sense.
My argument is prime examples last season, Mike.
Yeah.
Did they fumble up a lot? Absolutely. But then you have a Mizzou game. And then you have LSU game.
Yeah.
You know, they have those games where all of a sudden the stars align and you're like, this is the team that we talked about all offseason, you know? And I believe when I look at A&M, I think that's why it gets to me a little bit, is because I know what they have and what they can be. They just never seem to put it together. But when they do, they're unstoppable. And a prime example, those two games.
Okay. Well, I think we have to keep waiting for a little while here, Shane. But who we don't have to, because they've been whooping some ass.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, come on, number seven.
Can you believe Ole Miss? I mean, think about this, Mike. Ole Miss is on a Fear the Logo power rankings by Cousin Shane. If we were doing this list 7 years ago, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we would have feared FAU before we feared Ole Miss. I couldn't wait to play Ole Miss just to see how many points we can get up against those boys. But
yeah.
But now you talk about Lane Kiffin. Honestly, I could swap Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. I could just say I fear Lane Kiffin because of what he's created down there is just unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable to take a program that has struggled as much as Ole Miss has in the years past and made them consistently a college football playoff team. Now, they've not made it. You know, they've not, but we've sure as shit talked about them the last 3 years getting in, and we weren't doing that 5 years ago. So that's why Ole Miss has moved up this list, Mike, is mainly because of what Lane Kiffin has created down there in Oxford.
Yeah, and I will say this because I've been running the numbers. I'm almost done with them, Shane.
Yeah.
They win 9 or more games next year. then they're a beast.
Yeah.
Because they're replacing damn near everybody. So I'm not, and again, you throw up their schedule.
Oof, what a beautiful schedule.
It's not unrealistic that they do, you know, go 9-3 or even better, perhaps. You know what I mean? But if they do, it's really, really, really going to speak to the program that has been built by Lane Kiffin, that we can overhaul damn near everything and still be one of the better teams in the Southeastern Conference.
And being careful, which two games can you drop so you don't have to play an SEC championship? You know, it's a crazy dance that Lane has to do. But and now we got a new penalty. It's like, how valuable is this guy? Do we need him for a whole drive? You know, he's got some new stuff to work with. But again, I joke, but Ole Miss, if Ole Miss does what we think they can do and shows up in the college football playoff, Mike, Ole Miss is in the top four of fear and logo. Nobody wants to play him. You know, you beat Georgia. I think that was the ceiling for me, was beating Georgia Bulldogs. But then it came down when you lose to Florida on the road. So, you know, so I feel like to be considered the team, the dominant team, you can't have the Kentuckys and Floridas. You got to always have the Georgia games.
Right. Now here's where you lost me completely, brother. All the way up this list, as people have noticed, we haven't mentioned Florida Gators. I thought you hated that Florida Gators. What are we doing here, man?
Oh, Mike, this is what happens when I put a list together. The old 90s are sitting there on my shoulder reminding me of all those losses, all those games we should have won but didn't. Mike, there's just a mystique to the Florida Gators, and I can't explain it to an Ole Miss fan. You know, I can't explain it to a Texas fan. You don't get it. You don't understand it. But historically, Florida has been a thorn in my damn side, Mike. I have lost more money. I've lost I've rocket diets, you know. I've drank more alcohol than I should because of this damn football game. Mike, this is what fearing a logo means to me, Mike. The fact that the Florida Gators are here, because say what you want. I can tell you right now, 2025, you're going to ask me at some point, November 22nd, who you got, Tennessee or Florida? Everybody that is listening to the show knows who I'm picking. But deep down inside, there's that little young Shane that says, hey, don't forget the 90s, man. Don't forget how close last year was, man. Don't forget the damn 13 miles you walked, man. So this is fearing the logo, hearing those stupid chants, the stupid songs, the two bits, the whole bullshit. Every time I see Steve Spurrier, I have a little moment, you know. Tim Tebow gets up there, you know. I have a moment. So this is fearing the logo for me. The Florida Gators on this list are probably higher than they need to be, but they're not if it's coming from a Tennessee perspective.
Well, you know who deserves to be on the top of every list, Shane?
JR.
Cousin JR, what a legend. He's back. This time he's gifted a membership to Volcano. Who's a Vol, Shane? So Volcano, welcome
to the family.
Thanks to the legend JR. We haven't got to his team yet, so... Oh, hey, we also got this one real quick, Shane. We got a donation for Bryce. Appreciate you, Cousin Bryce. Why is everyone scared of that big red pig come game time? Also, why did the U of A give up on football?
You know, there is a part. I guess Tennessee, we never played them as often. But in the history that we have, we've had more losses than wins, you know. So I think this could be skewed a little bit too when you're talking about Arkansas. I tell you every time it comes up, the Bobby back in the day when Joe Adams returned that punt, that was the lowest of low for me as a Tennessee Vol fan, is watching Arkansas just beat the shit out of us. And 15 people can't tackle this guy. It was unbelievable. So, yes, there is just a natural fear. And I'm sure Texas has a little bit of this. You know, I'm sure that look here.
Look at that. So, yeah, they've beaten Tennessee 4 in a row.
Yeah.
Of course, Tennessee's got the all-time, but it's been a while since Tennessee beat them.
Yeah, I mean, what's the 2000, boy, that was a good year, wasn't it?
2007 was the last time they beat them.
63-20. Can we pull up that tape and watch it right now from start to finish? Oh, that's good, man. I like that.
Mm. Oh, the technology. All right. Number oh, we're still so are you, any last thoughts on Florida being at number six?
No, I mean, you're upset with it, but even though you're talking about, do you have a little bit of that? I mean, you grew up Tennessee Homer a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised you got up so high because all you do is badmouth them.
Yeah. That's what you do though, right? You know, you put somebody down so much so they won't come back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's much fear. Yeah, there certainly was the back end of the schedule. But until the last, like, 3 weeks of the season, I mean, Florida was like a laughing stock.
Yeah.
So, top six is a little over Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Over, I don't know. That's a little rich for my blood. Yeah,
I got you. I got you.
But how about this one? Speaking of Homer, how about that ball? Shay's got him top five in the SEC.
Who are they above? Oh, yeah. You know, I had to put them somewhere, you know. And honestly, I know people would have been upset if they were at the one spot. But honestly, I think Tennessee, kind of the opposite of some of these teams that are falling on dark times, Tennessee is on the mountain right now, or at least climbing it. And I feel like there's a few programs out there that haven't got to experience good Tennessee yet. All they remember is 5 years ago, Jeremy Pruitt or Butch Jones, you know, that Tennessee Vols, you know. So I think it's historically, but it's also the last few years. You saw Josh Heupel there with three top, almost, what, 10, 11 wins, was it? 11, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
He's created a new culture up here on the Hill, and I feel like that's why the Power T is starting to get the respect it deserves. It's starting to feel like the 90s a little bit, Mike.
Well, I guess we just settled it, though, Shane.
Yeah. This is the top four, right? We're in the top four.
Who's the real UT?
No, shit. You know, if Texas didn't have so much success here the last 2 years, and it's not so much just wins and losses, it's about going to a college football playoff. Tennessee did it too, but it's going to the playoffs multiple years in a row. You know, it always had that mystique brand, even before they joined the conference. But coming over here and making it to an SEC championship year one, yeah, that puts a little fear. Not in everybody, but it does put a lot of fear into SEC opponents. And so when you see that big old steer, that's the first thing, or at Longhorn, that's what you're going to think of is, shit, I can't believe we play them this year.
Well, how about this, buddy? So I'm trying to do the screen share again.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's coming through here. But because this blew me away today when I saw this. Boom. Shout out David Hale. Does a great job, ESPN. He covers the ACC for ESPN. How about this? Best records in the ACC last three seasons. He's got Duke. He's highlighting Duke here.
Yeah.
26-13. The fourth most wins in well, really the third best because SMU's only had 1 year. And that's not really relevant. What's relevant, underneath it, Duke has had 4 9-win seasons since 2013. And that's with three different coaches. And that is more than Texas had. Duke has got more 9-win seasons than Texas in the last 11 years. And A&M and Auburn and South Carolina. But just how insane is it? Because, and again, I'm not trying to like kick Texas or anything, but it's wild how quickly the perception changes that they're a dominant program when they don't have as many 9-win seasons as Duke over the last 11 years in a weaker league.
Agreed. But when you're not paying attention to them, you know, I mean, honestly, when I thought about Texas, I thought about Vince Young. That's it. When I heard that Texas was coming over, I thought about Vince Young, Cedric Benson, those guys, you know.
Yeah.
Really, I didn't watch Big 12 football. I could care less. In fact, I hope they don't find the old tapes. Man, I bashed the shit out of that conference. You know what I'm saying? But now you're family. And once you're in here, we take up for family. And I feel like when you look at the historic run that Duke has had, Mike, I'm surprised you didn't even throw up saying that, Mike. You drop South Carolina and the rosters they had the last 10 years, how many ACC championships would they have won, you know? I would say at least three or four they would have competed for. So
South Carolina?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, they'd be compete with Clemson. That's it. So I think about the years they beat Clemson in the last 10 years. That's the years they would have been ACC champs. Maybe not even ACC. Let's just say 9-win seasons. We just pat the back of Duke. Good God. Put South Carolina over there. How many 9-win seasons would they have had in the last 10 years? A lot. You may need a calculator.
Well, I mean, no, I'm looking back to 2013. South Carolina's only beaten Clemson three times.
That's three ACC championships, but 9 wins. How many times did they fall short but still hit 9 wins? That's counting a ball game.
I think the ACC is better than the Big 12.
Yeah, but I'm talking about South Carolina now. Yeah, you know?
I
know.
But I'm just thinking. I mean,
well, Steve Sarkisian wasn't the coach either, you know. So there's a reason they hired him, you know.
That's true. Hey, shout out to Scott. He says OU has 14 Big 12 championships. Texas had four.
Yeah.
Oklahoma 17 today to guess Texas is 2000. OU beat them this year and four more playoff appearances to Texas.
And see, I like this is the history I appreciate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you got to remember when you come to this conference, we don't care. We don't care how many Big 12s, how many ACCs. It's not fair, you know. The only reason I mention any games past regular season 2 years ago was because it was in a college football playoff, you know. We're talking four teams. I didn't mention Big 12 championships or anything like that. And, again, it's not fair, but maybe that wasn't even direct to me because you were talking about ACC. I could care less about the ACC. You know, I am an SEC homer, and I feel like once you join this conference, you kind of get a clean slate. But if you come in here and you win, let's say the West hypothetically, or you go to an SEC championship, then all of a sudden you earn the respect that's why I've got you. I don't have you at one. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, don't throw we into that because I care. Wait, real quick, Shane. Yeah. The guy goes by FU Libs. OU won the Big 12. Laugh out loud. But might as well say they won Conference USA.
I'm telling you, SEC fans don't care. They don't care about any conference. The only games they care about is – now, that's different in basketball, I feel like. It's different in baseball.
Yeah.
But football, there's just something about the walls are higher between the conferences, if that makes sense. So
I got you.
Yeah.
All right, so number three, most feared list, and this is another one. He must have some cornbread when he made this list.
LSU Tigers. What are you talking about, man? What are you talking? How many Heisman? This is recent. This is like recent Oklahoma. That's what this is. This is a more recent Oklahoma. You got Death Valley, which honestly has taken a few hits here the last couple seasons, but I still recognize it and respect it. You've got national championships. You've got Heisman winners. You've got arguably one of the best, greatest football teams ever created. You know, I mean, compared to early Miami teams, early 2000 Miami teams with Joey Burrow and them. This is when I see LSU, I can't help but think about an explosive offense and an aggressive defense. I think of some of the greatest running backs to ever come through there. If LSU's on my schedule, it immediately comes to toss if I'm expected to win that game. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with LSU. Now, Coach Kelly, you know, some people hate him, some people love him, whatever. Most people that love him aren't down there in LSU. But he's still winning football games, Mike. 10-10-9 right there. We're counting it last year, LSU. Like, Coach Kelly should be on the hot seat. He should be fired. They won 9 games. It's like that's the standards that's created down there in Louisiana, and that's why that logo is feared, Mike.
I think with him as a coach, I don't think it's feared. I'll just be honest with you.
That's your opinion. But again, if you're looking at a schedule 4 years from now, Coach Kelly may not be there. But right. them LSU Tigers will be. And I feel like that's why when we just like we talked about the bottom four with optimism and yeah, I may not be as optimistic about Coach Kelly situation, but there's no doubt in my mind that LSU will find a way to compete for a national championship trophy sooner than later.
I just thought of the funniest thing ever.
What's that?
So it wouldn't be funny to them immediately, but LSU struggles. They're going to fire Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Who's the first call go to make amends?
Nick Saban.
Bring him back. Come on. He's been all over. You know, I loved LSU. My biggest regret was leaving LSU. Bring him back. Win again for LSU to cap his career. How hilarious would that be?
Yeah, I was, I was smoking a J with my manager out there, and I said, that was a regret. I wish I could go back, man. Having garage beers, talking about the good old days.
Yeah. Well, speaking of old Nick Saban, that's for Shane Wint. We're old number, I can't believe it's ain't number one, Shane.
Mike, it would have been a couple years ago. I think obviously this is, I don't want to say decaying dynasty, but it is a little, it's like one of those hotels that you see online. You're like, oh, I can't wait to get there. And then you get there and you're like, man, this place probably was awesome 5 years ago, you know, but they really need to paint this or this ain't working right. You know what I'm saying? We've all been to one of those hotels. Alabama is one of those hotels. They used to be the Four Seasons and now they're still good. They're like a double tree, you know, but they're not like a Motel 8 or anything. So I feel like Alabama, number two, that's what we're arguing, number two on this list. I can't help but think about Butch Jones talking about the red team, man. We're going to go down here. We're going to play. That's what we're going to do. We don't even recognize Bama. We're going to call them the red team. Well, that red team beat the shit out of Tennessee, I think by like 40 points or something like that. And that was their ammunition, is that they weren't going to be feared. But by God, they were feared, man. And every time I saw Alabama on the schedule, we've beat Alabama two times here in the last, what, four years? And now I still feel like if Alabama's coming to Knoxville, I hope we win. That's why I keep saying, even if I feel like Tennessee's got a better situation, I hope Tennessee wins. We all do that. That's fear in a logo. And you better believe Bama was on top of this list for a long time. But since Nick walked out, it's going to take a while for old DeBoer to get it back up there for me.
Yeah, shout out to Cousin Dakota, Shane. That hotel you were talking about?
Yeah.
He said it's located in Norman. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, all right, shit. So obviously we only got one left.
Yeah.
We all know who it is. Them dogs. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Georgia Bulldogs, man. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. They had the longest home winning streak or something crazy like that. It was just, you go down there, you're going to lose. And I love the arguments. Man, I hope we keep it close. You know, if you're going into a football game hoping to keep it close, then by God, they fear you. They fear your logo. They fear your fans. They hate being barked at. This is a program that has dethroned Alabama, in my opinion. And I know there's some folks out there saying, well, what about Texas? What about LSU? What about some of these other programs? You know, we're talking about Kirby Smart having historically one of the worst years of his life with 11 wins. You know, we're talking about a coach that has gone 14, 15, 13, 11, recruiting class after recruiting class. Now they're starting to really pick up on the NIL, the transfer portal. This is a program that is going to be around for a long, long time. Will it be a dynasty? I don't know. It's got to win more national championships for that to happen. But if I'm putting my money on any football team right now, it's the Georgia Bulldogs. So, yes, you better believe there's a little fear when you see that G.
Oh, I think a More than a little. I think a lot.
I saw your little helmet, and that's where I went over your shoulder. I'm like, I'm trying not to look at it.
but overall, I think this is a hell of a list. So let's recap it here. Shea put in all the work. Look at all this work.
What a beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is nicer than any list I've ever made, which that's not saying much. But it is fantastic here.
Yeah.
These are the logos. Shane fears the most. Any now that you've seen the list, any you regretting?
I mean, if I shouldn't have done the fear of the logo, kind of morphed a little bit during this, more about what I thought other people would think, and then me. Obviously, I've got Florida a lot higher than probably most. Uh-huh. I personally thought Mizzou and South Carolina would be a little bit higher, even Auburn. I've liked the optimism, but you know what? No, I think I nailed it. I think I absolutely nailed this list the more I look at it. It is gorgeous.
Yeah, don't question yourself now that you've done all the work, you know?
Yeah, no. Put this out there, Mike. next week, I'm going to do top 10 Cracker Barrel menu items. So
Get back to the regular schedule.
Get back to my lane, you know?
Well, anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
Oh, no, man. It's exhausting. I can't believe I feel like I've talked the entire time. Is this what you go through? So I'm ready to relinquish the reins back to you, Mike. Mike's SEC podcast coming up tomorrow. So
okay, perfect.
Yeah, but do have those notifications on because, again, we got some pretty cool stuff that's going to be coming out, and we don't want you to get lost, you know? So there's some stuff that gets lost, but I appreciate everybody checking out the old videos and giving those a thumbs up. It really does mean a lot to us.
Hey, real quick, so they're already starting to rate Cracker Barrel. Pot Roast 1, Catfish 2, any quick thoughts? You know, don't give away your entire list yet, but no. Do those make the top 10?
Catfish does. Okay. It's tough to go wrong with that one. I'm not a pot roast guy.
Jeez Louise's hash brown casserole.
See, I mean, do you count side dishes as you know, is this more of an entree deal?
I think you could count anything you want on the dang menu.
You know what's going to surprise you? It's not on it. What would surprise you? The one item that there's so many items. Chicken and dumplings will not be on the list.
My dad just unsubscribed after that.
Hey, I don't know what they've done. They changed the recipe. It used to be thicker. Now it's like a watery substance. And ain't happening, man, until they get back to their roots. But, yeah, maybe that's what I'll do next, the old Cracker Barrel.
You know what? One thing that I really don't like there is their cornbread. Is that crazy?
No, I mean, I don't get the cornbread. So yeah. I can't argue with that. I'm a biscuit. I get the biscuits. And we've talked about this. My complaint is the lack of jelly. Right. One biscuit needs two packs of jelly. It's that simple. You cut it in half, you got two jellies. But they send you so many, and it's like, where's the rest? Or they wait until your milk comes out. I enjoy eating my biscuits like chips and salsa, you know, those little fillers that you're waiting for your milk comes out. I like to eat up on them biscuits and gravy before. Now, I have found a little loophole. If you get, like, biscuits and gravy, they'll bring that out to you first, you know, right off the hand. And I didn't, you know, the sawmill gravy and the gravy, I think it's all the same substance, but it's still delicious. But that's one way to get your biscuits sooner.
You've cracked the code. If you last this long, you've had out the code to Cracker Barrel. Thanks to Shane.
Get biscuits and gravy. You'll thank me later.
All right. I don't think we could end it any better than that. I appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.